And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today by two friends and special guest comedians, Mr. Neil Rubenstein and Brandon Vestal. What's up, fellas?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
I know. I feel bad. Everybody's just sitting around. You know, when I ask people to come do the podcast, hey, free Tuesday? Yeah, what do you want? Yeah, okay. Okay, no problem. I'm free Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm always free.
I'm always free. That's it.
Now you are, Neil, you are in New York, basically. So yeah. Things are, you know, they're finally getting, I guess you guys in New York can now have movies. You can go see movies, right, I guess.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But it's really not a big, we aren't really starting to see a lot of comedy shows yet, right?
No, I mean, I'm still, they're still pretty much locked down. I think 33% capacity starting in April or something like that, but I'm not counting on that for
why should you?
Yeah.
Until that guy gets impeached as your governor and you lose de Blasio. Speaking of bad governed states, Brandon, in California, in LA.
Number one bad governed state. Well, maybe number two.
Yeah, we're pretty bad.
Yeah, I think New York takes it, but yeah. Nipping at their heels.
Has it ever been more evident by the amount of people that are leaving your state? Like, you know, like I'm moving out of Florida and I'm thankful because my house price, I mean, I had a conversation with my realtor today and they're like, whatever you offer, they're going to bid up, you know, so, you know, that's how it's going. And I'm like, and then of course I'm getting remorse when I'm like, well, what if we would imagine I'm going to be one of those guys in 5 years where I could have sold my house for double if I had just waited, waited. Now, do you own in L.A. where you stay now? You rent?
No.
Yeah.
No, we rent. Yeah.
You got a lot of bums outside? You got a lot of homeless around you?
They're getting closer. I can tell you that. Yeah, they're closing in. It's getting weird, no doubt.
That's what Jimmy Schubert had said. He moved from Cali to South Florida back in November, and he says, yeah, I had a great apartment. I was paying all this rent and all these things, and I had a homeless housing unit, you know, just down the street. There's a bunch of homeless in camps, you know.
Yeah, and they tried to put one literally at the end of our block, but people raised a lot of hell about it. But it's out of control. Yeah.
Are you the kind of guy who raises hell, Brandon?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, I didn't see you.
Really.
I didn't see you at the front of that line.
I'm not at the front of a lot of lines. I don't carry signs. I don't. I just yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a microphone for like 15 to 16 years now and no one's listening to me. So I don't think I need to go to the line.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point. Neil, how are you? I mean, now you're in New York. You've been there a long time. You ever think about leaving?
Yeah. I think about it all the time, man. I wish,
listen to New York must suck because before the show, you were talking about trying to talk your wife into moving to Oklahoma, which if you're leaving New York to go to Oklahoma, I mean, fucking how bad, like, you know, it made me concerned. It really made me concerned for where I was born, which is New York.
I remember my a couple of years ago, they were my wife. They like the Bobs basically from Office Space came to my wife's job, and they were trying to like downsize everything. And they were like, "Yeah, they got bought by a company in Ohio." And as soon as she said that, I just started packing my stuff. Like, "All right, we're moving to Ohio. Cool." And she's like, "No, we're not." I was like, damn it.
I got all
like,
excited.
I'm ready to go anywhere. I'll go literally anywhere.
So you kind of had it. Are you just, is it basically because of the recent occurrences or are you just pretty much tired of New York?
It's been like, it's, they nickel and dime you here. Like you literally can't afford to live here. I don't know. I don't know how anyone does it.
It's,
you know, nurses and teachers drive Ubers on the weekend. You know what I mean? Like you can't, like if those guys can't make it, how am I supposed to? I can't make it. You know, I don't know.
That's definitely a sign that things aren't going that well, right? In other words, if you have a professional job, you're right. Yeah. You needed a 4-year degree for, and the only way that you can get over on the week, the bills of the month is if you get behind the wheel and start driving Uber, right?
Yeah. Everyone's got a side hustle. Everyone's doing, you know, making cookies or bread or doing something on Etsy.
I'm selling a ton of cocaine.
Yeah, there you go.
A ton of it. It's a good market right now.
I'd imagine, dude. You're not a drug guy. You know, You and I, actually, speaking of Oklahoma, isn't that where you and I met with Looney Bin when I opened for you? I think it was with Looney Bins in Oak. Was it Oklahoma?
We went to Tulsa, I'm from Oklahoma, though. Yeah.
Yeah, and there. So, but he's a pretty straight-laced guy, dude. Now, you have family, right? Brandon?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to come charging in here in a minute. I told them to be quiet, so we'll see.
Oh, that's interesting.
See what happens. Yeah. I got a little boy, 5. A wife, older than 5.
I'd hope. Fucking perfect.
Yeah.
That's a funny joke. I actually say I have a child who's 5. I got a wife who's 9. I've been down to Epstein's Island a few times.
We're done, though. One and done. That's it. One wife and done?
Yeah.
One wife with a ton of girlfriends.
Yeah.
It's all good.
The wife's buried out back.
Yeah. She's super cool.
Yeah. She doesn't yell much.
Yeah.
Doesn't make much noise.
She's just a quiet talker, like on that Seinfeld episode. That's my wife. So we might fight all the time. I just don't know.
That's not bad. Right?
Yeah.
If you get in an argument with a woman who can't speak, are you really arguing? You're staying there, right? You're not leaving LA, are you?
Mm-mm, no plans. My wife works at Disney.
Yeah, they're reopening that, or she just works for like the productions and the main corporate.
She's in some sort of business analyst something.
Come on,
I don't understand any of it.
Don't lie. She's Minnie Mouse. She's Donald Duck's girlfriend or something.
Security.
Can I be a fiduciary?
5'2".
Yeah. Is she a fiduciary? like me. That's good, man. I'm glad you guys are sticking in there. And I really hope you get to move to your dream location, Oklahoma City, there at some point.
That's pretty easy to make happen, actually. So, I mean, that's an attainable dream. Exactly.
Yeah, I got some.
Very attainable.
My wife's sitting right here shaking her head no at me.
She's a smart woman. I just want to go to Oklahoma City. What's next, Cleveland? If we can't do that, we got to go to Cleveland or Detroit. Speaking of living it up, I don't know if you guys followed the story about Meghan Merkel, right, who married Prince Harry, right, or Prince Harry. A lot of talk about that. I don't know if you guys follow that much. I mean, my family is basically from we're from the Rock of Gibraltar, so it's British, so I follow the Queen and all that shit. And, Harry was the youngest of Princess Di's sons, right? This guy was a helicopter pilot for the Royal Navy during the Gulf War. You know, he's just not sitting there polishing his throne. This guy was out there, and I always felt this guy was a little weird. I always knew this guy was going to leave somehow, and I mean this is 2 decades ago. I may have been, I called it because I knew I, this I think this guy I always thought this guy was the Antichrist or towards the dark side of the Illuminati. I think he was pulled away from the royal family and being influenced by that side. Care to comment, Neil?
When he was 10 years old?
Yeah. Exactly. They said, hey, boy, put that soccer ball down. Get over here.
Okay.
You want to join the Illuminati?
Did he really flew missions during the Gulf War?
I believe they call them sorties. He was a helicopter pilot. He used to fly the attack helicopters. So he actually flew, and it wasn't like he was flying around refueling the helicopters, you know.
He flew in actual combat?
Yeah. Yeah, he actually did. And there was actually a story, if you think back to something happened. I don't know, he jumped out of his helicopter and saved a family of 5 Iraqis who were also dreaming to live in Oklahoma, oddly enough. But
was he wearing his Nazi uniform when he did it?
Yeah, that's right. Remember back in history, they caught him at a party where he was wearing an SS Nazi uniform?
The full thing, the full outfit.
And like, isn't the other people in that photo, like, one's in blackface and one's in a KKK robe?
Are they really?
I think so. Like, I think the photo is, like, the craziest photo. I'm making it up? Maybe I'm making it up.
I think I'd see that photo before. I think that'd come up.
Yeah, I just remember he was with somebody. And bringing up Prince Harry, also, you remember not too long before this all happened, he was in Vegas having, like, a great drug-fested party in one of the Vegas penthouses. He had women.
Yeah, he was running around naked, right?
Yeah.
Actually, in the halls of the hotel.
Yeah. Can you imagine you're running down the hallway in your hotel in Vegas, you see Prince Harry in full Monty? You know?
Are you naked too when you see him?
I'm going to get naked at that point. I don't care.
Because that would be crazy. Yeah. The one night you pick to run down the hall naked in Vegas, you run into a naked Prince Harry?
We're both streaking at the same time.
That's good shit.
The Hangover is written based on that story, I think.
Oh, was it? He was. I mean, this guy has been all over the place. So that's what I'm saying. It's not like I just made up these conspiracy theories. I think the guy is basically known, or you know, he's got some issues. But if you follow the story, he married Meghan Merkel, who was a famous game show person. I guess she was on Deal or No Deal. She used to hold the suitcase. And, you know, I don't know if you guys, and you're obviously your wife is sitting near you, Neil, and you may answer these questions differently, but have you ever done something really stupid over a pussy? Like, in other words, like, have you ever been that engulfed? Have you ever been involved in it that much that you would just like, could you imagine being part of the royal family and the vagina being so good? You're like, no, I'm done with you.
I've never left royalty to be with a woman. That's definitely
no, me neither. I've never had the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. No woman ever made you do something really stupid, like, you know, like you thought. Oh,
yeah, one of them made me move to L.A. and have a kid.
She's obviously not in the room.
One of them's keeping me from moving to Oklahoma right now.
Yeah, you guys need, listen, blink twice if you guys are keep being kept captive. But there's a lot of talk about how the royal family, I guess, in this interview with Oprah Winfrey, that they're basically they had to come back and back with it. But they were saying that some of the royal family were concerned at how the shade of the baby would be, right? Like the little kid, you know, I forgot his name now. Archie.
Can't believe I know that. I'm ashamed that I know that.
I just read it.
I heard it on the radio today, but still, I shouldn't know that. That's ridiculous.
Are you guys concerned about Archie's skin tone?
Not only am I not concerned about his skin tone, I'm not concerned about him at all.
Yeah, I don't.
I could not give less of a shit about these people.
Really?
Yeah, I assume that once this is over, I'll forget everything about all those people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Kathleen, the other day, my wife the other day was like, going to watch the Oprah thing. And I was like, wow, I couldn't give any less of a crap about any of these people. I'm not. None of the people
but
in that
I'm not surprised either.
Me at all.
A lot of views. A lot of people watched that.
Good.
Everybody had more ratings than the Globes. And actually, I think we have more people watching us now than they're watching the Globes the other night. But
did you watch that? That was a nightmare.
No, I didn't. I've given up. Dude. I will not watch any of those ridiculous shows ever again.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hard to pull off. Like the late night shows, too. Like the way they're doing them, it's rough. It's rough.
Is late night TV kind of dead? I think it's dead. Back years ago, they were saying rock is dead. I think late night TV is dead. I think the talk shows have had it. Their main muse of entertainment and joke writing is no longer in the White House, and now they're sitting there going, "What do we do now?" We were calling it right as a comic. You're like, I watched the late. I don't care what show it was. Every fucking joke on the monologue was all Trump, and that's great. But I'm like, what else? You know, there's got to be something else to make fun of at this point.
Yeah.
Someone told me the story. They overheard two girls on the subway talking, and one was like, "Oh, I slept with this stand-up comedian the other day," and they're like, "Oh, is he famous?" And she was like, "Well, he was on Fallon," and the other girl was like, "Who even watches that anymore?" And it's like, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, I'm
they watch the clips. They watch a clip in the morning on YouTube of the show.
Yeah.
And that's all.
That's it.
Well, I want to find out more about who's the girl who slept with Pete Lee.
I'm like pretty sure it was Mark Norman.
Yeah. Congratulations to Pete Lee. I think he's going to have his eighth appearance on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, I think he mentioned it. But... you know, listen, that was the big thing right now. Now it's about what? YouTube, TikTok followers? You guys are on TikTok?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok.
Yeah, I got on there. I think I have 8 followers.
Yeah, I got like 25. I got like 25 followers, and I keep seeing friends on Facebook. Oh, I just hit the 10,000. I hit the 20,000.
Yeah, people like post one video of her comics, and they wake up to 100,000 followers.
Yeah. I got lucky. I had a couple of videos go pretty big. I have one that's like close to 3 million.
Nice. Holy shit. So, and then how long is the video? Is that, well, I guess it
wants it's 30 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cause I, that's what I try to put like little clips on there with little stupid, you know, little extras you can throw on it and try to get some traction. I think my biggest video has like 4,800 views. That's it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And that's why
I haven't even checked it because it's so embarrassing.
I know.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, the unfortunate truth is that, like, it's a viable means to both revenue and viewership. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's legit.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've seen people thrive just from the pandemic, thrive and become like hard ticket, actual be able to sell rooms because they, you know, they're at 500,000 followers on TikTok, and it's like, well, that's the goal, right? I just want to be able to, you know, sell out the room. Yeah.
And you get paid. I guess you get paid if you get over 10,000.
10,000, you can monetize.
Yeah.
Or if
10,000 what? 10,000
followers.
Followers or views?
10,000 followers you can monetize. But if you choose not to, like, I sell t-shirts and stuff, and I did. So like when the first video like really popped for me, I did like a quick follow up, like, hey, thanks for following. Where are you guys from? And do you go see stand up comedy? And I got like 400 responses to that being like, you know, Peoria, Illinois, definitely would love to see you. And like that kind of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, that's better than Instagram's ever done for me, or, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, now I'm just more upset that I've gotten nothing from it yet.
Yeah, and once you figure TikTok out, there'll be some new thing that.
Yeah, for sure. Clubhouse
that
or whatever.
You suck at.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you guys, as comics, do you feel like, you always feel like you're doing enough? Don't you feel like there's so much shit I could be doing, I should be doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do any of it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got an album, right, Brandon? You got a comedy album out, right? Or two? Don't you have more than one, maybe?
Yeah, a couple albums, and I did a dry bar special, which helped a lot, actually.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I actually had my best year coming. 2020 was my most booked and most lucrative year, and just like everybody else, but that sucked.
Yeah.
But
you got
starting to come back.
You got an album, Neil?
I have a 7-inch EP.
Yeah.
Like a.
Oh, congrats. Don't be bragging. I mean.
yeah. My goodness.
I mean, I wasn't going to talk about that kind of shit. Yeah. We're going to wait till the later part.
That's average
of the show.
In Oklahoma, though. Yeah.
That's
average.
Yeah. In Oklahoma, that's nothing. That's a micro penis.
Yep.
That's nothing. I still haven't done. That's my thing. I still haven't done mine. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me. I'm like, I have the title of it, you know, and I know. I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing until I get my. The solid hour that I want to put on an album and say it's over, move on, you know.
Say it's over
until the meeting. Until that, I'll just keep using the same jokes. No.
I also don't believe in burnt material at this point either, because like you're not performing to the same people. You know what I mean? Like no one's coming twice. You know, like you can tell those jokes.
I know. I mean. As a touring comic, you don't have to worry about that, right? But if you perform in the same city all the time, you know, your own city, then you have to worry about the same people coming to see you. How important is turning over material, Brandon?
I'm slow. I'm very slow. So but I got a chance to meet Brian Regan a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about it. And I asked him that because that's my big thing. Like, do I do the stuff from the dry bars? I mean, it's got a lot of views, but... People haven't seen that thing, you know, he said he's cool with doing 60% of stuff he just did on a special.
Yeah.
Until he slowly just works it out naturally and replaces it all. But he's like, I don't care if 60% of the audience knows a bit. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Cause I thought it would be, I always thought, you know, you're done with your hour and then you start over, but it's hard to do when you don't have as much, you know, stage time as these guys.
Yeah, because there are people that I see them every year. They have a whole other out, like Brian Callen. You know, there's guys that are just amazing.
There's guys that can do it, and I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the most impressive aspect of some comics, that they can just come into them.
Steve McGrew.
But they're also doing it, like, I'm not trying to make excuses, but we all have to worry about rent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have to worry about, like, the stress of everyday life, it becomes a little easier to just make sure I write material eight hours a day, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I would love to be in that position, but can't, I mean.
I've had somebody say that to me because I would, you know, I am a fiduciary, so I have my duties, you know, during the day, you know, so I have my fiduciary duties. So I,
it's a terrible name for something.
I know. I love it. The funny fiduciary. But you know, there's times that, you know, I wish I could wake up thinking funny to go in bed thinking, trying to funny and ticked all this shit. But one of my mentors says to me, he goes, yeah, but here's the thing. If you didn't have what you had, right, then you wouldn't have the freedom to be able to tour as you're doing and, you know, go all these places, take shittier gigs just to get stage, you know. Yeah, there's a balance that we all have to understand or feel good about. Now, speaking of that, since we're on that subject, minimum wage is a big discussion, $15 an hour. Have you ever worked for minimum wage, Neil?
Probably.
Yeah. How'd you get off it? Did you get off it? Did you just quit working and say, I'm worth more? Or did you figure out a way to get paid more?
I always just wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So like very young, I just started touring with rock bands and stuff. And I wasn't going to work. I'm not working for someone else unless it's something I really want. I'm not sweeping. You know what I mean? Unless it's like something that I want to be sweeping up. You know what I'm saying?
I'll sweep money. Can I sweep up loose money?
Like if it's my club, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I care about this club. I'll sweep up this club. But I'm not sweeping for $7.25 an hour, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. How about you? When's the last time you made minimum wage, Brandon?
High school at a grocery store. It was $4.25. When I left, it was $4.75. I worked my way up.
Wow. Look at you.
$4.75.
Mr. Wall Street.
Yeah. Mr. Fiduciary right here.
Holy shit, you got a 401k with that job?
It was very easy to manage $4.75. The portfolio was very manageable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people keep talking about that. And, you know, my point in a conversation with somebody recently was, you know, it's not the minimum wage because trying to live off minimum wage is it's like, you know, it's like trying to pole vault weighing 400 pounds. It's not something that is expected to be done. And, you know, if anything, minimum wage has always been a starter thing for me. So I'm more concerned about advancement. You know, I'm more concerned about having the ability to be seen in advance. And because like you, Neil, like I worked in the grocery store like you. I was fortunate that our soccer coach in high school was the manager of the store. So I got paid like stock money when I was bagging groceries. You know what I mean? Mm. So I was, you know, I was
privilege.
Privilege.
Privilege. Soccer privilege.
Soccer privilege. That's a new thing that there's going to be a cancel culture over, you know, but you know what I'm saying? And then, but I think my last job was working for American Express where I actually got to go in for time. Like you get paid by the hour, but I've always been a producer. I've always been the kind of person that was in sales or, you know, I made as much as I wanted to make. I never, you know, it was based on what I could do. So, little concerning about the $15 an hour.
When they say the $15, they say, does that mean like you're going to get $15 an hour in some little town in Oklahoma?
Well, that's what a lot of people, that's why I got kicked out of the recent bailout plan was because there's that standard of living in Oklahoma. Obviously, like you can have a four bedroom house, four bedroom, three bath house in Oklahoma, you know, what, like $40 a month?
My parents pay less than I pay for their mortgage for this.
Yeah.
This place.
I mean, you know, like I'm going to be leaving South Florida, moving to Greenville, South Carolina. So that's a big difference. You know, it's about 30. It's like a 40% difference in cost of living, if not, you know, even from Florida. So you're right. So somebody making $15 an hour in West Virginia somewhere is killing it, you know?
Yeah, it's such a tough topic because it's like in certain places it's ridiculous to think that you can work a 40-hour work week and still be in squalor, you know? And that shouldn't be the burden of a small business to make sure that that's not the case.
Yeah, that's the thing. Won't the small businesses go kapluk in most places?
Well, small businesses will hire robots and they'll hire less people and there'll be more flex time. And, you know, that's the thing. You try to, the problem with a lot of these so-called, you know, ways to help the little man, it's a little man thinking small or a little person thinking small and not coming up with a real solution. Like I said, instead of minimum wage or raising it up there, you know, let's make that. We need to have two things happen. A, you need to have people that are worth something. If you've ever tried to hire somebody to do a remedial job somewhere, we tried to hire an assistant in our financial planning office, and this, you know, I went to school, I went to this college, couldn't even answer a phone, you know, couldn't even properly take a message. All right, yeah, whatever, you know. I'm like, really, that's how you're going to talk? So, it was just crazy. It's like healthcare. You know, we worry about making sure everybody has healthcare, but we are the most unhealthy country in the fucking world. You know, we need to get healthier. Otherwise, don't complain about the cost of healthcare, because we're all out of shape, and, you know, we're all fucked up. Well, Brandon's in good shape.
Yeah, but barbecue is delicious.
I mean,
yeah, but the
so things
don't
do about that?
The cost that the things are. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
spit it out, Neil. Share your thoughts, man.
I don't know, man. The government needs to take better care of its people is the bottom line, in my opinion.
You know, and
stop. I think this idea, like the working class defends billionaires for some reason. And it's like, they don't care about you at all. Like they want to pay you less. They want to pay you less hours. They want you to work harder and for cheaper. And then we're like, oh, well, you can't tax them. You can't have them contribute. Let them contribute, and we'll all be better off for it.
Yeah, well, the wealth tax will flop. If everybody's hoping that's going to flop, but they should come with some estate tax. As a fiduciary, I don't mind that, because I start selling a lot more life insurance. You know, people have to start paying estate tax when they die. I'm going to be selling $10 million life insurance policies.
It's just crazy that, like, in California, there's an inventory tax for small businesses, but, you know, Amazon or Trump can hide their money offshore and no one is like, oh yeah, it's fine. I don't know. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah. Trump doesn't have any inventory of anything.
I'm sure.
Well, who got it right, fellas? You guys are both in states that shut down. People are criticizing the states that were open, and everybody
not us. We didn't get it right. Not us.
Well, you know, it's a wonder. Like, anytime something happens, regardless of our ideology or whatever it is, you got to look back at the results, right? Like, that's all I'm thinking about. Like, it was all unprecedented when it happened. So to judge what somebody does is a little, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm taking a shot at it, and I'm never going to, you know, I hate second guessers. I hate critics of people who make decisions, right? Because sometimes making a decision is very difficult. And there's a lot of people that can't make that goddamn decision, but they'll be the first ones to criticize you for making a decision when they can't make it themselves. So who got it right? You know, maybe.
I think it's like a little of column A and column B, man. Like, I think New York and California had the right idea at first, like with a drastic, like, let's make sure that the hospitals don't get overwhelmed. But then as soon as, you know, whatever they said, they were like, oh, we'll flatten the curve. And then once the curve was flat, they should have done what Florida did or what Texas is doing now, where it's like, all right, let's get back to life. Like, if you're scared, and I'm scared, if you're scared, stay home.
Well, this is
if you're scared, wear a mask. Well, if you're scared, I mean, me and you were in Vegas together.
Yeah.
I was scared, but I still have to get on with my life. You know what I mean? I wore a mask. I stayed away from people, and I didn't catch it.
That's the thing. That's the fine line between a government having to tell you to do something or common sense. And as a Darwinian, a person who believes in Darwinianisms, I would believe that those who don't make the proper decisions and get out there and die and do stupid shit, that's a lot of times that's the things they're going to do. And, you know, and the ones who don't, like, you know, I had COVID and stuff like that. But, like, you know, like now the mask mandate thing is, you know, people say, how could you take away a mask mandate? Listen, because there's so many people that don't. Like, technically, I don't have to wear a mask because I've had it and I've got the T cell. So, like, you know what I mean? If I don't want to wear it, I wear it because, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off. But at the same time, if it's mandated, I'm wearing it because the government tells me I got to wear it. But if I typically didn't have to wear it, then I won't wear it. And if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, put on your mask, I could go fuck yourself, worry about yourself, or walk away from me. I'm really against these people that walk up to people that are mad that they're not wearing a mask, yet they will come in close contact with the person just to prove, just to fucking. So in other words, if you're so concerned about your well-being, you shouldn't even come up to me. You should get the fuck away from me. This is the contradiction in the logic, and that's why I feel those people should just die. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like, fuck them. Like, you should not. And that's it. End it. Let's fucking, like Thanos, you know, fucking let's make some room. Let's make some fucking room. Anyway, I thought that was fun.
I agree. Like, I got microchipped up on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got what?
Got the microchip.
Speak 4 new languages. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, they said it was going to take a while to reboot. I didn't know what that meant. I was like, all right. I've been sick since I got it, though.
Yeah.
So I'm like a little concerned. I'm like, am I supposed to?
Wait a minute. All right. So you got the you're saying you got the vaccine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Which one did you get?
Apple.
Apple.
Yeah, eye vaccine.
Now when I close my eyes, I hear music.
It's awesome. I close my eyes and it's like, did you want to?
I had to buy a new charger though. It's a different port.
He's got to keep plugging his ass. He's got to keep plugging his ass into the recharge.
Yeah, they make you buy a new one. They designed it so you have to buy a new one
halfway through show.
You plug it in this way, and then it's like the other way, and then it turns out it was this way the whole time.
He's gonna keep breaking his own screen.
Moderna, I guess.
Moderna, okay.
Whatever, the popular one. I don't know.
They say that helps
the
your
two
dick.
One.
That's it. Yeah. That,
the two that, one. Yeah, yeah.
That says it helps your dick grow. That's good though.
Nah. Very small.
Hey, you can get to Oklahoma.
8, 9. You're gonna be speaking German soon, Neil. 9. I got 9.
I hope.
That'd be nice. Well, for you and your wife, of course, I would have no interest or concern on that factual aspect. Well, good. So you got the first one.
Yeah.
Well, the second one's supposed to be even worse.
It's going to be bad for me. I'm like legit sick from it.
Yeah. How long ago did you get it?
I got it on Saturday. I'm like hacking up.
Well, that might.
I don't know if you're like seeing. I'm hitting mute because I'm like.
I know.
Hacking
yeah.
Up
I'm worried. I'm like, you know, I'm worried an alien's going to pop out of your fucking chest pretty soon.
I'm hiding them.
So wow, yeah. I was wondering what that third arm growing out of your fucking forehead was. Would you get are you going to get vaccinated, Brandon?
Yeah, but I'm so far down on the list that, you know, I don't even think about it. Yeah.
Now your kid's going to school. Is your son going to school?
Yeah, we've been lucky. We, considered cause he's like, he started when he was 2 and you go into elementary school. His birthday's in August. So he's right on that threshold of, he was going to be the older kid. So we kept him back and that's when COVID hit. So he's been in school the whole time, except for like a month when we went to Oklahoma. So
yeah,
we've been lucky out here, but most people are screwed.
Yeah, no, that's it. If you have kids, it's been a hard, like, these kids are
good. But we have till August because he has to go to the big school in August. So they need to get this shit straightened out because
you got to go to school. CDC already said it. Get back, you know, open the schools. You know, I mean, this is a generation of people that are just going to suffer. And it's not like our kids were that fucking bright in the first place.
Yeah, they're going to be about 10 years from now. They're going to be some dumb fucks running around.
Well, we've already seen in our culture, you know, that with this lack of, like, not say just disciplining kids, but basically trying to tell them, hey, you fucked up. You know, it's like it seemed like a generation of people said, oh, you're fine. It's okay. You know, don't worry about it. Most parenting went through that. And somebody asked me, I have no kids. How come I know that? Well, I taught karate for years and I coached soccer. And it was the parents, you know, that would just sit there and enable these kids for mediocrity. You know what I mean? It's like, I tell the story before. One time teaching karate class, these like 6-year-old kids are doing the wall drill. They're holding the wall and they're putting their leg out, you know, and they're doing all the mechanics of a karate kick, you know. And this one fat little kid, he goes, pushes everybody and they all, like 6 people fall and they're all trying to hold the wall. So I said, Billy, go over there and sit in the corner and look at the corner for 5 minutes. Don't disrupt my class. And his mother came up to me after, like, how dare you treat my son like that? I'm like, that's what you saw? You saw me treating your son that way? You didn't see your son disrupt the class? You didn't see your son be disrespectful to his, you know, like, what the fuck is wrong? You know what I mean? But that seems to be pretty rampant. And we're seeing more and more evidence of, you know, people that make decisions as adults with that. Well, guys, it is that time, by the way. Time for the news is a joke. Let's hear it for the guys in the sound room. Yeah, this is where we tell stories from around the world and make fun of them. Last time I heard that on the show, they didn't even come out. Bisexual women with straight male partners are least likely to be out, study says. Did you ever date a bisexual woman?
Not that I know of.
Well, that's what their point is saying. If they are bisexual and they're dating a man, they'll kind of keep it to themselves, even though the guy's always like, come on, kiss her. Come on, kiss her.
Yeah. It's like a win-win for her.
Yeah. I mean, that's surprising to me. It's like, I mean, most guys would think that. Like, they all think our girlfriends want to be with a woman for us, you know? Have you ever had a threesome with a woman, Neil, or two women?
I've done some things.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I'm proud of two of them.
Yeah.
I used to tour at rock bands.
So yeah, you've done. Yeah, that's part of the, that's part of the culture. That's part of the culture. You know, let me ask you this. When you did experience that bit of a lifestyle, did it kind of like make it difficult for the basic lifestyle of that to be as enjoyable? In other words, when you open Pandora's box and you start having orgies with all these girls and titties in your face and women, one woman on your, you know, fit and that buff. Once you're doing that, is it easier? Is it okay to have a relationship with just one woman?
Yeah, you have to hit me in the dick with a bat to get me to notice. Yeah. Something is happening now.
That's the promise. It's the Pandora's box theory.
Yeah. It stopped working.
What do you do next? That's the thing. That's the thing. These guys.
That's the thing. It's the thing with all these, like David Bowie bangs Mick Jagger. So he just got bored of women. Like it's just. I'll pee on someone. I don't know. What's next?
That,
I don't know.
That is the theory of why most gay men are great looking dudes, because they've done everything, right? They have done everything with a woman, two women, three. Like they've done everything. They're like, okay, what's left on the box to check off?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to lick a penis. Okay, let's try that. All right, I haven't tried it yet. Yeah. I'm not gay. Look at me, I'm a rock star. I know you got other people there, Brandon, but you've been awfully quiet through this segment so far. But is that something?
Yeah, I wish I had a story to tell you, but yeah, no.
You've been pretty.
One maybe opportunity years ago, but I can't ever think that it's real. I think they're trying to steal a kidney or something. So I didn't. I thought it was a setup.
And you know, I
would never think it was real. So it would never happen for me.
Looks like he's got some pretty good kidneys too. So.
Yeah, he does. Look at that thin body, and these are healthy. You know,
too much true crime shows. Yeah.
Well, listen,
to take heart in the threesome.
we had an epidemic of that shit happening here in South Beach area. These really hot women would find these guys, and they would pick, you know, to find a guy who was, you know, average. So they know that, you know, the guy's thinking there he hit the jackpot, right? Yeah. And then he's like, yeah. Oh yeah, and he goes home with him. Next thing you know, he wakes up in the haze, and his wallet's gone, watches, Rolex is gone. You know, all this shit stolen, and you get gypsied. It's like being gypsied, you know.
So
it said the study basically says that if you are a bisexual woman and you're in a relationship with a man, then that you probably will keep that to yourself. But ladies, don't do that. Share that information with your man.
Yeah, he's probably going to be fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to have a problem with it. I didn't.
Yeah.
The girl I was with before my wife, she was all into that for the last year of our relationship. So that's why I asked you that question, Neil, because for a while there, after that was over with, I was like sitting there going, come on. Maybe what'd you do? I got to take a hammer to it. There you go. Woman finds us. By the way, this is the internet. This is the day of the woman. Internet. What is it? Isn't it like all these women hear me roar?
International Woman Day.
Yeah,
wasn't that yesterday?
Well, with women, it's
or
not
is it
just
week?
It's probably a month.
We're equal. We're equal, and you don't want special treatment, or you want all the special treatment. You can't be both. Do you want? You want International Women's Day, and we all, every women are wonderful, or we don't see gender anymore. Pick. You pick.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
Tell
me what to do.
That's amazing you say that, because I was thinking the same thing. I keep hearing about, why are we looking at women? Why women? It's they. And, you know, and I'm like, well, why the fuck do we have National Women Day if that's how dare you? How dare you? You know? But
tell me how you want me to behave, and I'll behave.
I'm trying to follow along, but you keep changing the rules.
You keep switching the rules. That's exactly right.
All right.
What do you want me to do?
Being that it's International Woman Day, as Brandon just said, women finds whale vomit. worth a crow's while vomit worth crows while walking on a beach. Now, I don't know.
Why does it matter if it's a woman or not?
Well, what if she identifies as a man?
Who cares?
She's the first woman to ever find.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of whale vomit.
Whale vomit.
I mean, you would met like whale vomit. You'd think it's something you find like when you're in a pool and you find out where somebody pees. You know, like you're in a pool and it's kind of nice, cool water, and all of a sudden you find a warm spot, and you see this old guy standing there going, "Hi," he looks a little, you know, "Oh, hi, sorry about that." But in I think it was in Thailand.
Didn't they say they made perfume out of it?
Yes. Well, that was she found a. By the way, anybody who's got that. That fucking garbage truck backing up in their living room. Ah, that's funny. A woman in Thailand stumbled upon a very lucky find when walking on a beach. Sipurun Narmrin, 49, had been walking along a beach thinking about how her husband keeps wanting her to have threesomes. And she found this big old lump. It looks like a huge, Advil. And she didn't know what it was, but it turns out, you're right, it is... This whale throw up, whatever it is, this thing that he threw up from his bowels of his, is actually good to helping perfume last.
It just doesn't make sense, you know? I don't even know what to say about that.
It's 12 inch wide, 24 inches long, much like my penis. And it is inches long of the ambergris and has estimated worth of 1.8 lakh pounds. I don't know what that is in Thai.
I think it's like a quarter million American.
Quarter million American.
I think that's
for vomit.
Not a bad find.
Worth of vomit.
In Florida, if you're walking down the beach in Florida, you can find bales of cocaine, which are worth millions.
I got a whole bunch of pee poop. I'm sure there's some vomit around here, right over here. I bet there's a whole collection of it. We could be smelling fantastic.
You just gotta compact it all, put it all together.
You have to spray yourself with whale vomit.
Actually, you got to go out with a whale to a bar and have him drink a bunch of Jägermeister shots.
Yeah.
Go on, one more there. One more, Flipper. One more there, Orca. And then you'll be fine. Our next story, Oklahoma. Oklahoma woman linked to home break-in after Cheetos residue found on her teeth. Now, wasn't this a Super Bowl commercial where I guess they were wondering who was stealing all the fucking Cheetos, and the cat and everybody had Cheetos all over them. Since we're talking about food, I'm going to start with you first, Neil. What is your favorite snack when it comes to, like, potato chips or something
Dipsy
of that?
Dipsy Doodles.
What?
Dipsy Doodles.
Gypsy Doodles.
Dipsy Doodles. Gypsy Doodles.
What the fuck?
Dipsy Doodles.
All right, so Dipsy Doodles are like the pretzels or something that are coated with chocolate?
They're corn chips. They're Wise brand corn chips.
So they're like Fritos.
They're like Fritos, but they're like a thicker, more ridgier.
Oh, that's nice. Thicker than a Frito, which is like eating like a roof tile. That's really odd.
It's a good workout. It's a good work. It's basically a salty version of a Cap'n Crunch.
Oh, Jesus.
Just tears up the roof of your mouth real nice.
Yeah. It's like eating something. Like my mom used to make these sandwiches with fucking French bread. That was like a day old. It's like it's the worst, man. What's your favorite chip, Brandon?
I like the chicken and a biscuit.
What the? Where are you guys going grocery shopping?
It's right at the grocery store, man. It's been around for years.
Chicken and a biscuit. Blue box. Whatever happened to Munchos? Whatever happened to like Doritos Cool Ranch? I mean,
I'm not a Dorito guy. I don't like Doritos.
You're not a Dorito? So what? I never heard of this fucking chip. So if we're in a car, we're going somewhere, we're on a gig, you say, "Hey, Dougie, I'm going to go get some chips for you." You're going to grab, what chicken burrito? What are you?
It's called chicken and a biscuit, but I know you can't get them in convenience stores. It's a grocery store buy only. They don't have like travel bags. So in a gas station situation, are we talking chips or are we talking sugar?
No, I'm talking chips. I'm talking bags of sugar. Like, you know, or no.
Yeah, I'm a big.
Good.
I'm a big peanut M&M guy on the road.
Mm. You like that? Mm.
First of all, there's two things that especially when I'm at an airport, like when I go get like a coffee, like a cold coffee instead of waiting in a line, I'll get like a Dunkin' Donuts, you know, prepackaged coffee or something for the, and then I'll sit there and I'm looking at the peanut M&Ms in that big ass bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look at it and I'll do the same thing when somebody offers me cocaine. I'll sit there at first and go, oh, that looks so good. And then I remember how bad I'm going to feel after I do it. So like if I ate a whole bag of peanut M&Ms, like I'm not talking about a little bag like you would normally.
Yeah, no.
I'm talking about those big family packs that you take and you, oh, I'll just have a few. And then and you, I wake up with stomach issues. You know,
have you had the caramel M&Ms?
No.
That's my new airport snack.
Caramel M&Ms.
They're really good. Caramel inside. Ooh. Very good.
Have you had the caramel ones, Neil?
No.
You will now.
No, I don't think I will. I'm not into it. I like they make this new thing now, COVID O's.
COVID O's.
They're really hard to eat because you can only get within 6 feet of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're launched from 6 feet away from
the bag. They're great for dieting. Great dieting cereal.
You got to eat it like this. Trying to catch them. It doesn't matter that the woman was from Oklahoma, and that's where you really want to live, Neil, but... this particular woman breaks into a house, doesn't get away with him. They call the police. Later, the police find the woman, and they found a bag of Cheetos and a bottle of water by the window that she broke into. Not the the smoothest of criminals.
I would just like to say, the guy that's actually from and grew up in Oklahoma, that our criminals are much savvier than that usually.
Yeah.
We have very savvy criminals.
Yeah, those guys eat the chickens and a biscuit before they rob somebody.
That does reek of Florida, man.
Listen, Florida has nothing to do with this shit, okay?
I know, but that just gets into those stories where you're just like, that should be Florida.
If we dig deep enough, in this story, Florida will show its face.
I agree.
It'll turn out she bought the Cheetos in Florida.
She walked from Florida.
Yeah. Any rate, our next story, passenger uses pepper spray on airplane preparing to take off. Yeah, oh, just got to put a little cologne on. The person that actually
How can you even get that? You can take pepper spray on a plane?
In her defense, she thought it was whale vomit.
Yes. She thought she was spraying herself. You are not allowed to. Actually, in the story, details that the people at the TSA were probably reprimanded because you're not allowed to carry
I can't believe they didn't catch it. They're such a crack staff.
I know.
Less than 3.5 ounces.
Yeah, and I'm worried about bringing weed on my carry-on. You know, I'm worried about putting weed in my check bag, actually. It's so funny. I'll hide joints within my Q-tips, like, in case that they look at it. Oh, that looks like a Q-tip. you ever get MacGyvery when you try to hide drugs?
Is Florida recreational now?
No, it's still medical here.
We were on tour internationally. We were flying from Germany to Italy or vice versa. And the singer of the band I was working for just put, like, he had, like, a bunch of, like, cubes of hash.
Yeah.
And he just put it with his coins and his keys and his wallet and, like, four things of hash just right in the thing in the tray and just slid it through and walked through like nothing was going on. And they just didn't notice.
Shit.
It was the most baller thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'd be sweating like the guy from Midnight Run.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was. I was like, oh, I was like, he's getting arrested right now. We're not going. We're not finishing this tour. He's going to jail.
Yeah. Good for
this
him.
This guy's trying to build his cred.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, it turns out that they had to turn the plane around. They don't know. It supposedly accidentally went off. I remember flying back from New Orleans. I flew back from New Orleans one time, got bumped to first class. I was so happy. And then they put me next to this dude. Turns out he was shitty pants. This guy, like it was started smelling. And the guy looked at me. He was like, oh, somebody shit their pants in here. And I'm like, oh, it does stink, you know? And then it was just
that classic redirect.
Yeah. And of course, dude, there was this big dude sitting in the first seat to the left, like up ahead to the left. And he goes, oh, he's pointing at the guy, the fat white guy. I think it was that guy. I'm like, and I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, fuck, I think it's you, bro. And then, you know, and then it was bad. And he's, you know, the plane takes off. And like, what the fuck? And then somebody's coming around. Turns out he went into the back bathroom when he had a chance. Shit everywhere. I don't know if the guy had a colon. I don't know what happened. If the guy had something wrong and colonoscopy bagged it. I don't know what the fuck. And he came back. He had a towel around him and everything. We had to do an emergency landing in Pensacola because he was flying to Fort Lauderdale. And we had to fly the plane. And everybody... They had this poor guy, you know, that one guy walks on the plane to clean up the bathroom. You can see the shit trail from where the guy walked from the bathroom. There's supposedly shit everywhere in the bathroom. It was amazing. So then the one guy who had to clean it up, that guy walks in and everybody's looking at him like, oh, that poor guy. That's a guy that doesn't want to work for an hourly wage right there, dude. If you ever work for a restaurant, the last day you work at a restaurant or a bar is when they say, hey, somebody just threw up all over the bathroom. You got to go clean it up.
I had to clean up in the girls' bathroom where I got paid $4.25 at the grocery store. There was in the ladies' room, turd on the floor.
Oh,
full turd. Full turd. I don't know who they got to clean up, but I can't go in there.
I once diarrheaed in a mop bucket, and then later it occurred to me that like someone's going to have a really bad morning when they come
to work. Nasty. It was a mop bucket. Oddly enough, it was Brandon. Brandon was working there that day. Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. That's disgusting. Oh, our next story. Australian cop arrests woman because she didn't make eye contact with him. Now, there's going to be somebody go, oh, he's just an asshole cop. Well, this cop knew how to determine how people who have warrants against them look. I mean, look at Neil. He looks like he has a warrant.
I don't currently.
No, currently, see? You ever have
I'm crushing life right now.
You ever have a warrant on you, Brandon? Have you ever broken the law? Have you ever been arrested?
Four warrants right now, but they can't catch me.
You ever taken a shower?
Funny.
Have you ever taken a shower with another man?
I had some unpaid parking tickets one time, but then I paid them, so everything was fine.
You're good. So, Neil, you've been in jail.
I've not been to jail, no.
No?
Yeah.
I've been cuffed. I've been cuffed.
I've been cuffed. I've been arrested. I've never spent a night though.
Got good representation.
No, never. I don't know that I've ever paid a lawyer ever.
Wow. Good for you. Well, this. You know what? This story sucks. I'm gonna pass it. That's the way you deal with that. If that's what you do when it's your show. After record COVID-19 deaths, Bolsonaro, who's the leader of Brazil. Tells his Brazilian people, stop fucking whining.
So good.
I love it. I mean,
so good.
You know what I mean? Like, so good. It is like everybody's dying in Brazil. Again, you know, there's sometimes you have to, like in life, sometimes we have to really accept reality, right? I mean, wasn't part of COVID, like you think about it, like we think that our country and our government's going to save us from everything. That this is like this. This is almost like this feeling we've had being an American. We're protected. You know, we won every war. We're, you know, whatever. We're Americans. We don't deserve to suffer. You know, we should not have to suffer from COVID. But we did, like the rest of the world did. We judged everybody how they dealt with it. And sometimes the leader of the country just got to say, stop your fucking bitching.
Is it really bad in Brazil?
Yeah.
It's like that guy in Texas after the snowstorm.
Yeah.
That one mayor was like, quit your crying. We don't owe you anything. If you need hot water, you figure it out. And they were like, all right, that guy's got to go. That guy had to resign.
I'm telling you, there's moments like this that make it very difficult. Like, you know, like, right. Like for us as comics, like when we have a heckler. Right. There's that moment where we want to make sure we handle it, but we don't want to piss off the audience. Right. We look like bad guys. Right. It's that fine line that we got to be heard. We got to make our point without looking like a bad guy. What's the key to doing that, Neil?
I don't know, man. When I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I always try to like soften blows. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think also because like people tend not to get too confrontational with me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're very intimidating. I mean, you look like a Hell's Angel.
Yeah. Emphasis on the angel part though, Miss Sweetie.
What is going on?
I think the show just came to a grinding halt.
I think you know what?
This story's weird.
I think you know what happened was our live feed killed because my producer Chris was reaching out to me on the phone. I go, we're doing the show right now. Why is my producer reaching out to me? I guess our live feed had dissolved somehow. Well, we'll end up recording it and putting it back out once it's done. Nevertheless, fellas, this is a professional organization we're running here.
This is bonus content
yeah.
now.
This yeah.
is a fiduciary
yeah.
run show.
That's right. The compliance office is going to be calling me. Well, let's hear it for the leader of Brazil, by the way, for telling everybody to fucking pipe down and just deal with it. Because basically in life, that's almost what it is. You know, not all adversity can be deflected. Not bad things are going to happen to us. Right? Like, Neil will never go to Oklahoma.
Probably.
No.
Right? Yeah. He'll never have a threesome. Well, again.
Yes, we can.
Again. Are you okay with that, by the way, Neil? Are you okay with putting that part of your life behind you, that crazy world of the rock and roll groupie sex and all that craziness?
Yeah, I mean, that's the past. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like this new thing that I'm doing.
That was last week. We're on the new things.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Life's about growth, right? Change. I love it. I love everything I've done. And
spoken like a man whose wife is sitting just a few feet away from him with social distance.
I love this. This lady, she's the best, man. I wouldn't trade her for nothing.
You married?
I'm married.
No, did you believe that, Brandon? I'm married. I mean, by a priest. I mean, by a priest. You weren't
technically.
Weren't married by a shaman or something.
No, no. We're both Satanists.
Oh, okay. No, you're not. Are you?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. What is going on with Neil? I don't get it.
Is there a ceremony?
Yeah. What's the ceremony? You promise to love, you hate, discourage, demonize. Yeah,
the people got it all wrong, man. The pillars of Satanism are very, you know, like treat others how you want to be treated and stuff like that. It's just
you got to get over the guy who your leader is likes to take souls and.
Well, it's
they're like libertarians.
It's like a fake thing. It's like we don't like. There's no devil. Like that's a Christian thing. Like that's you guys made it up. You know what I mean?
The religion you follow is a complete mockery, and it's almost like you do it, and it has a structure behind it, just to say you follow something when in fact, it's a mirage.
Yeah, it's a dogma for the sake of a dogma,
right?
And it's a little bit of a FU to.
So I'm just curious. So God forbid when the day comes, and you like see the light going out. And all of a sudden, you start feeling the heat at your feet as you plummet as you plummet into Hades, realizing that maybe that wasn't such a good fucking idea.
Nah, I'll be like, oh yeah, this is what I this is right.
I mean,
this
how would you feel?
This
like
checks out.
Like how would you feel if you were heading into hell and you thought, oh my god, I really had this figured out. I really thought that.
My bad.
You're like the one.
Yeah, I'll be like, yo, man, you're not gonna like. Mess with me too hard, right? Because that guy was like kind of cool.
No way, you're mine forever. Now you got to do open mics for the rest of your eternity with two people in the audience. Would that be a comedian's hell having to perform in front of one person, the same person?
I think it'd be more like two real people, and then like 15 comics. Hmm. That's horrible.
Yeah, and then everybody keeps running the light.
They call it headlining, but you're really just going last.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
It would just be perpetually COVID times. You know what I mean? It would just be like 33% capacity. Everyone's wearing masks.
Actually, it's Zoom shows. It'd be Zoom shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be
rough.
It's
just Zoom shows. That's what it is. It's the worst.
Like this one. Teammates forced. Oh,
I like these. Like, I like the people who are doing the panel shows and like the.
Yeah, I don't mind the chatting, but trying to do stand up is.
The stand up is tough. The stand up is.
I would say that doing stand up comedy on Zoom is like having sex with a webcam girl. Like, you see things that are supposed to look a certain way, but you're not actually feeling anything, right? You're not really getting much. I mean, one might be more funner than the other.
I think you feel way better after a web sex show.
Yeah, exactly. It depends.
Way better. Yeah, I guess it depends, but I'll put the money on the...
on the way it goes. Well, gentlemen, I don't know what happened to the show. I'm waiting for my producer to get back to me. I will have a podcast because I'm recording it on my own. He only has 40 minutes of video and audio. Motherfucker.
Should we just talk shit about him the rest of the time?
Well, the only problem is I think we're the only ones enjoying this now, because if the video is cut off from Zoom, right? I don't know why. We're still on the meeting, so the meeting should still exist with the Zoom, right?
I have no idea, but I can tell you, my wife's giving me dirty looks. I can tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you, that's all I know for sure.
What's funny to me is the email he sent to us was like a pitch for his services.
Yeah.
His services are very shoddy.
Yeah.
like, this is not the best foot forward for you, sir.
We get another email going, hey, please forget all contact information, and I'm going to regroup.
Yeah, my name
do like I'm going to do on TikTok. I'm going to erase that account, and I'm going to start over.
My name is Charlie Rose. Thanks for playing along. You know, I'm going to do at this point, guys. I got the audio. I got the podcast. We'll see what happens. I want to thank you guys for joining me today, even though it may have been only 40 minutes of who knows what we got to. But thanks, fellas. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, man.
And
thanks for having us.
We'll see you on the road, fellas. And
I'll see you.
And we'll go from there. God bless everybody. Take care.
All right, man.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Wake up.